Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Ron Edwards, and we are coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. In just the week's time when we last spoke with you via this program, Minneapolis and St. Paul, but let me kind of reverse it. St. Paul and a small community called Falcon Heights and Minneapolis, Minnesota have gripped the attention of the world. What more can one say? Newspapers are loaded, both papers, both major papers, and even our papers of color are loaded with reflections, descriptions, debate, criticism, sarcasm, cynicism, you name it, we have it. For our listening audience around the world and domestically, it is sad. We have reached a point here where, since we last spoke to you, a two-year-old African-American child was shot and killed in a crossfire, in a gun battle on 10th Avenue North in Lowry in North Minneapolis. We spoke a month ago about the death of a grandmother, a 59-year-old African-American woman, Miss Beeks, shot and killed as she sat at a stoplight with one of her grandchildren, taking them to drop them off at a function. She was cut, shot and killed, never really knowing what was that hit her. The bullet plowed through the door and under her armpit, taking her life. And in between, as we said in our column in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, the oldest newspaper here in the state of Minnesota, that we are becoming like little Chicago. And that, you know, we're on the highway to self-imposed genocide, destruction, and et cetera. A school called Lucy Laney, which is approximately two blocks from where Trayvon King Jason Jones lost his life at age two, his 15-month-old sister shot and wounded. She's blessed. It was not life-threatening, if you will, but she will forever carry the scar of having sitting next to her in the back seat of that automobile her brother, her hero, her big brother, if you will, falling silent, not even really able to cry out as the bullet plowed into his chest. We were at North Memorial. We were called as a part of the community response team that has been put together by the police chief, Janae Harto, her assistant chief, Chris Arneson, and other command officers, and fully supported by the mayor. We arrived at the hospital probably within a couple of minutes of the physicians, surgeons at North Memorial declaring that Levante was deceased. They did everything that they could to save him. In fact, it was kind of eerie to see professional medical personnel who are used to seeing trauma, who are used to seeing death, who are used to seeing the pain that goes with it as loved ones have to be informed. And, of course, his mother had arrived at the hospital and was being told that they were working on him. And you later could hear her cries, if you will. Crowd had gathered. The Reverend Brian Heron and V.J. Smith and K.G. Wilson did a heck of a job of talking to people, keeping down the sense of outrage, hurt, pain, confusion, and et cetera. But as we said just a minute ago, just two blocks from the death of this young child, this two-year-old child, is a school called Lucy Laney. And the story was in the Minneapolis Star Tribune a couple mornings ago. And the principal there, an African-American woman, very sensitive and et cetera, took her summer school class, and they put together a memorial. and they walked the two blocks from their school to the corner of Penn and Lowry, and where other memorials had been laid, everything from teddy bears to cards to big bears, if you will, and etc., where a small crowd had cried, had felt the pain. But these children, I think, showed the way. You know, it's always been said within the biblical scripture that it is the children who will lead the way. And some of the questions, a couple of the questions that were asked by some of these young children, basically, you know, grades K through 4 or 5, is that what had Levante done? Why were people mad at him that they would shoot and kill him? I'm fairly sure that no one was mad at this 2-year-old child. He hasn't been with us. He wasn't with us long enough to make anyone angry. He brought about a lot of love. He brought about a lot of dreams of what his life was going to be like, and etc. But he hadn't been here long enough. 2 years? My God. You just cannot generate. Unless you are a disciple and the son of Satan, then if you are that, you have carried out, unfortunately for all of us, your mission. You have sent a precious soul to heaven. For the gunman who took this child's life, they will burn in hell. That is clear and concise. There is no way to get around it. And any actions that were irresponsible that led to the death of this child will have to be accounted for. When one goes to meet their maker, they will have to petition and explain why it was that they endangered this baby, this child, and his 15-month-old sister. But the question that was raised by those little people from Lucy Laney on the north side of Minneapolis was compelling. It was extremely profound, and it was much more mature than the adult leadership of my community, because there's really been no press conference. There has been no reaching out to the mother. There has been no gathering of the giants, if you will, of our quote-unquote community to express outrage, to call for the surrender, the voluntary surrender, or the forced apprehension of those who took this 2-year-old baby's life and shot and wounded his 15-month-old sister. No one has reached out because we have another tragedy, if you will, in our sister city across the river. Though it did not happen in St. Paul, it happened in a very small enclave called Falcon Heights, which is nestled in between Roseville, St. Paul. I think it touches on a city called Columbia Heights, and the city of St. Anthony. And it was from that municipality, which has itself a small police department, maybe no more than 18 or 19 officers, a predominantly white community, if you will, who has a contract with Falcon Heights and another very small enclave to provide policing and protection, if you will. And so the nation's attention was also drawn to the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. First, it was Baton Rouge. It was the death of Mr. Sterling. And then it was the Twin Cities. It was St. Paul / Falcon Heights. It was young Mr. Castile, gunned down by an officer who is still trying to explain what it was, though we think that we already know, and as part of this half-hour program, we're going to share that with you, that we already have a pretty good fix on what the scenario is going to be, what the cover story is going to be, how the justification is going to be crafted and shaped so that County Attorney Ramsey, County Attorney John Chu, a Asian, by the way, will be able to make the necessary findings of no culpability, no wrongdoing on the part of the St. Anthony Police Department and the Hispanic Latino police officer who said he stopped the deceased because he looked like a robbery, or no, in this case, a stick-up, an armed robbery suspect who had been involved along with another African-American in the stick-up armed robbery of a convenience store on July 2nd. And the officer said the reason that he knew that this was the person because he had a broad, flat nose. This is not something that we're making up tonight here on our national, international, and local program. These are all facts that have been printed or in all of our major papers and et cetera. And, of course, the press of the minority community will have to do catch-up, if you will. We, in fact, are blessed that we are even in a position to deliver a narrative, an analysis, if you will, a reflection of what happened. And so we have a 2-year-old child that is shot and killed just hours after Mr. Castile is shot 4 times while sitting in his car. He had made the mistake of indicating to the officer as the officer was approaching what should have been a felony stop, which meant there should have been backup. There should have been more than the second officer who was with the Latino officer, because this was a felony stop, and you don't make felony stops, and according to the policies and protocols of departments and even the state of Minnesota, by yourself. You know, you get backup. I mean, you got a dangerous individual in the car. In fact, what the protocol is that as you approach the car, in fact, you really don't even approach the car. If you feel that the individual is that dangerous, you call out to the individual to step out of the car, to turn his back to you, to put his hands and lace his hands behind his head, and then begin to walk backwards towards you. And then at a certain distance, which is consistent with your training, you tell him to get to his knees, if you will. And then you and other officers approach him, if you will, never taking your guns off this individual. And then you handcuff him, if you will, or her, if you will. The officer in his dispatch had indicated there were 2 suspects in the car. That was ironic because there was a third. It was the 4-year-old daughter of Diamond Reynolds, the young lady who has clearly made history in this country and in the annals of criminality and investigations by live streaming, as my technical friends and associates make me understand. She showed the world the moments and the final moments of the death of her boyfriend, if you will. And yet, in many regards, the calmest person in that automobile was that 4-year-old child. Just as in the case of Levante being shot and killed at age 2, it was his 15-month-old sister that was the calmest in that emergency room and that hospital room and giving comfort and comforting her mother, 15-month-old, 4 years old, 2 children, the future of Black America, the future of the sons and daughters of the African. But because so much attention and great national figures such as the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Cornell Brooks of the NAACP, and others, and now Judge Hatcher, who is a part of a quote-unquote variety show, if you will, has been hired by Mr. Castillo's family to represent his interest, if you will. Ms. Reynolds has acquired legal counsel, we understand. By the way, once again, in our city, people have come forward with significant monies. Already over $300,000. In fact, in an article in this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the largest newspaper in the state of Minnesota. The family did a heck of a thing, understanding what is about to happen if they didn't. They indicated that they wanted the money given to the churches of the Twin Cities, if you will, and not continue to be handled, quote unquote, online. That's probably a smart move. I think back to Jamar Clark, a young African-American shot and killed by police with a bullet to the head on the 15th day of November 2015. Over $100,000 raised in his name. And it took a group of people almost 3 months later to buy him a headstone, if you will, which was finally installed in the middle part of April. And so we are a city, we are a nation, my friends. We are a nation in pain. Yes, we are. But we are also a nation that is more greatly divided than people want to admit. And it's quite clear that Micah Xavier Johnson, a 25-year-old African-American, a veteran of the military conflict in Afghanistan, has caused an awakening in this country and has drawn attention around the world to the fact that there are serious problems, that there is a great breach, if you will, that there is significant division, and that racism, irrespective of the fact that we have an African-American, the first time in the history of the republic, sitting as president of these United States, that we still have conditions and circumstances that encourage and allow racism to fester, to drive the nation further apart. And when those five, and let's say this because it's, race is so much of an issue, when those officers, if you will, one a Hispanic Latino who had served in the United States Navy, the other four Caucasians, but there were African Americans wounded. Miss Taylor, who threw her body on three of her sons to protect them and was shot and wounded, but police officers threw themselves on her and her children to protect them. It is a weird situation, and it was something that the president said at the memorial service in Dallas yesterday. He said it from Warsaw, Poland, where he was at the NATO armament conference, if you will, trying to maintain some semblance of peace in that part of the world. But because so much attention was being paid to, quote unquote, kind of the glorification of what had happened in the case of Mr. Castile, that in the case of Baby Jones, Levante King Jason Jones, that is his name, if you will, that we are finding it a little bit more difficult as a community here on this side, the west side of the Mississippi, that we are finding it a little bit more difficult to turn our attention. But as I said, a black principal at a grade school called Lucy Laney, two blocks away from the site of the carnage that brought about the death of a two-year-old child in our city. Those children, and we repeat again, as we said at the very beginning of this program, brought depth and maturity. And maybe a series of questions more profound and compelling than anything that us, quote-unquote, so-called knowledgeable adults could ever have thought about thinking up. And we repeat again the statement by these little people, these innocent children who are, in fact, our future. God help them for what it is that we are leaving them. But they asked the question, what had a two-year-old child, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, younger than many of them, what had he done to so anger someone that they would take his life at age 2 and wound his sister, 15 months old and as precious as you'd ever want to see. And by the way, he, a deceased 2-year-old, was one of the most handsomest young men that you'd ever want to see. As some would say, he was a heartbreaker. But then all children, all babies are heartbreakers. Because we, as the parents, the adults, and et cetera, envision so much for them and the development and what it is that they will bring forward. They are, in fact, that which drive the dream that maybe we had that we were not able to accomplish. And so tonight in the Twin Cities, there is great pain. But there is great pain across the country. There is great pain in St. Joe's, Michigan, where two bailiffs were shot and killed, and the gunman who killed them was shot and killed, and another bailiff was wounded, and another person was wounded. And it just is happening and happening and happening. And as President Barack Obama, who one feels so saddened, this, as I understand it, in Dallas yesterday was the 11th occasion that he, as President of the United States, has appeared at a memorial, at a funeral, and et cetera, not only to give a eulogy, but to talk in terms of the state of the republic, the state of the union, as people like to say. And so, as we move into the last 9 minutes of tonight's program, we will continue to hammer, because contrary to what some folks try to make up as an excuse, it's just not an everyday occurrence in the greatest nation on the face of the earth that 2-year-old babies are gunned down, that they pass from this life. And there is such silence in many respects with regards to why it happened. And again, we refer and we defer to the very young children the question, who did he make mad? Why were they mad at him? Why did they shoot him? What had he done that people would display such violent action against his franchise, against his person? And that is a question that it is quite obvious to me as a longtime journalist and historian in this state that I realize that we're just not prepared to face up to that particular question, because then we'd have to talk in terms of black-on-black crime. We'd have to talk in terms of the danger that exists. We are shooting so many people here in Minneapolis, in the city of Minneapolis, and particularly on the north side, that it ranks right up there with Chicago proportionally. It ranks right up there with, you know, Dodge City and Abilene and et cetera. But this, my friends, was a test as far as this journalist and historian is concerned. Because if one can remain silent on the tragic death of a 2-year-old child by gunmen exchanging gunfire with the person driving the vehicle that this baby was riding in along with his 15-month-old sister, we have some angry, angry people. Last night, for those of you that are listening in, behind McDonald's, there on West Broadway, a young man, member of the Martin family, ambushed, over 20 shots were fired. He was hit twice. He will survive. But that sight, just in the last couple of years, let's say the last 6 years, has been the site of at least 5 homicides. As fighting goes on over drug territory and the slightest, quote-unquote, disrespect and insult, but really it's about that drug money, if you will. It's about control of the territory. You know, in some regards, I listen to our young and old people, you know, because there's a lot of old gangbangers out there, isn't it? they talk as if they are the Russians. You know, when Russia made the decision a couple of years ago to annex the Crimea and to take it from the sovereign nation of the Ukraine. But see, the Russians had the necessary muscle and weapons to do that. They had a historical, quote-unquote, narrative that they could make reference to. I'm not sure what it is that is on the minds of those of us who are looking at and watching this level of violence, and we are so silent. I repeat again, and I would hope that hopefully Don Allen will be returning in the next couple of weeks and we can open the phone lines. I'm really sad that we do not have the phone lines open, but because of the technical situation as it pertains and to delivering this program, we are not able to do that. If I could make arrangements for that to happen, the phone lines would be open, because I'm interested to hear what some of your thoughts are out there. Maybe I'm just from the old school, the school that did battle and rejoined the battle of the 1880s, 1860s, the 1920s, the 1940s, in the fight for quote-unquote standing for the sons and daughters of the African. Standing means being able to be respected, to be recognized, and to enjoy all, quote-unquote, of the amendments of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States. I want you to think about this tonight, my friends, and feel free to give us a call, to raise the question, and et cetera. But I'm just trying to figure out how it is that on one hand, we can be so fully engaged in the situation in St. Paul, on national television, screaming and hollering about, quote-unquote, those things which we have already lived through as the sons and daughters of the African. But how we can deliver a message to our children, think about this, my friends, because this is really what we are saying to a 2-year-old victim, dead and gone. His funeral will be in a couple of days. And his 15-month-old sister, who was sitting next, just as Miss Reynolds was sitting next to her boyfriend, this young 15-month-old child was sitting next to her brother, and she actually watched him die. That is not a situation and a circumstance that creates all kinds of mental problems and stress and fear and et cetera. I do not know what fear is. But as I said, I was blessed as a member of the community response team in that emergency room, in that hospital room, watching that little girl who had been shot, comforting her mother, engaging in conversations with her leg heavily bandaged. Yes, her leg heavily bandaged. But she was so full of life. And it seemed that she had taken up the mantle for her 2-year-old brother, whose life had slowly ebbed out of him. In fact, his final moments were no more than 20 feet from the emergency room, in which doctors worked valiantly to try to save him. And so as we close tonight, we pay our respects and our homage to those that have lost their lives, including 5 police officers in Dallas, Texas, and black men in Baton Rouge and Falcon Heights / St. Paul. God, give us strength, give us a vision, and in just plain terms, just give us the intestinal fortitude to stand up and be men and women who are prepared to address the problem. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you. I'm Ron Edwards. This is the Ron and Don Program. Good evening.